Hello, Oscars 2022. We're not taking any phone calls right now because there's nothing out there worth a damn right now.
I don't even want to think about the Oscars. Oh, my God. Seriously. After how bad the show was this year.
Oh, my God. I was watching Colbert last night, which was a repeat. And boy, he was on there talking about all the great moments and stuff. And I go, wow, why didn't I even see that on TMZ? I mean, it's like, what is going on here?
Wait, what? He was saying that there were great moments of the Oscars.
Oh, yeah. He was pointing towards, you know, everybody had to go to the one actor that joked around about his mom and dad having sex and stuff. And I'm going, man, you know, why is that? Was that really the hot point of the entire evening?
That's dumb.
Yeah.
That is so dumb. Yeah.
Yeah. And because, you know, I understand that if it's the Golden Globes, because the Golden Globes get away with a lot of stuff. But the Oscars is supposed to be classy.
Yeah, I guess so. And it was Daniel Kaluuya during his speech, and it was whatever, but like not a big deal.
Well, speaking of movies, you sure were a busy camper this past week. I mean, my God, you saw what, four films?
I know, but you know what? I saw Wrath of Man in the theater.
What? What was that experience like?
I know. Well, it was interesting. It was not a press screening. I went last night to the sneak because I missed the press screening and I still wanted to be able to see it in time to review today. So I went at 7 p.m. and I saw it like in one of those ultra screen situations. There were only five other people in the theater. But it was great. And I think I loved what I... you know, what I mentioned before was it was just great not being able to pause the film,
yep.
You know, to really start the movie and watch the movie all in full, and also just the size and the surround sound and the scope. I loved it.
Man, I haven't been in a full theater in forever and a day. I've done premieres and all that kind of stuff, but you're right. What was the experience for you being with only five other people? I know what I go through when I'm in a situation like that, and it's I get locked in on the movie, then I look around and it's like, oh, I'm in this row, I'm the only one. I need me some brotherhood.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I like it because normally when I go to press screenings, normally they're kind of chill and not as crowded, so I don't need a fully packed theater.
Wow. Well, I want you to know, and the without crossing the line and stuff like that, there's a lot of good things on the way. The phone calls have been made, and there's a lot of good things on the way. I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yes, I'm looking forward to all of that.
I love it. So, what was it about Wrath of Man that you liked about it, or was it just the experience?
It's excellent. The movie, it's excellent. First of all, it's directed by Guy Ritchie, and he returns to his genre, you know, after doing Aladdin. Sorry, Toto's playing in the background if you're hearing some sound effects. And it's really the quintessential boy movie. That's what Guy Ritchie does. You know, his production company is called Tough Guy, you know, Productions, and there's barely any women in. And it's all machismo, action, violence. And this is Jason Statham. He plays a mysterious new guy in a cash delivery truck business.
Oh, wow.
And he's so subtle and collected and under pressure, and the rest of it's great. He's kind of like a human superhero type. And then you've got Josh Hartnett back on the big screen, and he's sort of like the everyman character where you relate to. The way his character reacts is the way that any of us would react in the situation they're put in, as people are trying to like steal, the millions of dollars in these cash trucks. But the screenplay is so smart. It's like a maze. It starts out and you don't realize how interconnected everything is until the movie starts, connecting all the dots. But it starts out and then it goes 3 months ahead and then 5 months back and then 5 months ahead and so on. It's so nonlinear, but it's really cool. Great cinematography, amazing twist three quarters of the way in, great ending. I just loved it. It was really fun. I loved seeing it in theater. That is Wrath of Man opening today.
Wow. Jason Statham, he's always been like one of my all-time favorite actors in the way that when you go to a movie with him, there's going to be something that you're really going to pull from it.
Usually, yeah, that's true. That's true.
So would you put him up there as a movie star yet, or just a guy who's a leading man?
I'd say he's a leading man because he's kind of a one-trick pony. You know what I mean? We haven't really seen him stretch as an actor. I haven't seen him be able to do comedy I haven't seen him to be, really pull on the dramatic strings or really, really perform. So he does the quiet, brooding, badass sort of, action hero well.
Yeah, basically Stallone and Schwarzenegger and stuff like that, where they're all just typecast as one person. So now what was here today all about? Because, I mean, if we're here today, then what are we doing here today?
Here today, PG-13 in theaters today. Also, it's written, directed by, and starring Billy Crystal.
What? Oh my God! I saw the movie premiere on this. The commercial on this.
Yes, the preview. And basically, it's he's an over the hill comedy writer, and this is such a tearjerker.
Oh no.
Yeah, I was not prepared. I mean, it kind of wants to be like the comedy version of The Father, which won, you know, Anthony Hopkins the Oscar earlier this year. So as an aging comedy writer here, Billy Crystal is starting to deal with some memory loss. And there are some funny moments, but it really shines more in the dramatic moments. So it's more of a dramedy. Tiffany Haddish co-stars as a character who like won to have a lunch with him at a charity auction or something for $22. And then they end up becoming like new BFFs. She sings a lot in the movie. She's not a great singer, but she's such a great performer that it's so fun to watch her sing. There's a great supporting cast. You've got Penn Badgley, Sharon Stone, Laura Benanti, Kevin Kline. It's fun. And there are some moments, because it takes place in New York City, that are reminiscent of like when Harry Met Sally, just seeing them around New York City.
Yep.
But it's just crushing. It's crushing to see Billy Crystal at the end of life stage. It's like really hard to take. So I'd say you could wait to stream here today.
Even though if you're a big Tiffany Haddish fan, I mean, you would still wait?
No, then maybe I go check it out in the theater. Yeah. She's just delightful, yeah. You know, but yeah, but it is, but it's gonna pull at your heartstrings, let me tell you.
Oh yeah. The way that they promote it inside that commercial and stuff like that, it's like, there's supposed to be this, you know, earth shaking comedy fun, and you're
No, you will laugh twice then cry for like 45 minutes.
Ah! All right. Queen Marie of Romania. This sounds like an artsy movie.
Yeah, available today on demand. This is a true story about the 1919 peace talks in Paris. Romania was really devastated after World War I, and they were fighting for unification. And they, because it was like Transylvania, Romania, etc. And they were having trouble getting anyone to take them seriously during these peace talks. And all of the politicians that were there weren't getting anywhere. And so the Queen decides to take a trip over to Paris and see if she can, you know, stick her thumb in the pie, so to speak. And it was very, very controversial at the time, because women didn't get involved in politics, the royals didn't get involved in politics, there's also a lot of turmoil going on in her family. Her husband, the king, supported her, but her son, the prince, was kind of acting against her. There's a very slow crescendo to the story. It's in English language with other languages that are subtitled. And if you like history, royalty, period drama, I found it very inspiring, and I'd say it's worth streaming. It's on demand, so if you're into any of those things.
Now, when you say the Queen, we're talking about the Queen of England. This would be Elizabeth's mom?
She is Queen Marie of Romania.
Oh, Romania. That's right. It's in the title. Pay attention to the poster,
that's
dude.
Okay. That's okay.
You know, I hear Queen, and right away I go, "Oh, Queen of England!" Oh,
I know. Look what the crown has done to us.
right.
Or Meghan Markle, either or.
Do you think there's going to be another season of The Crown?
Oh, I think there is going to be.
Oh, see, I really, really got into that. And yeah. I mean, and I think the reason why is because the last season deals with Princess Di, and that's an automatic win.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That.
I know. Anything with Princess Diana, and I'm like, I'm there.
I'm there. That's it. Monster. What is this one all about?
Okay, so this is a movie. Monster is a movie that was made in 2018, and it was so bad that it couldn't get distributed. So no studio or anybody wanted to touch it to distribute it. It's just such a bad movie. Just sat around, and I feel like out of the blue, Netflix took pity on it. It's like, oh, we'll put it on the air. So Netflix is showing it today. It's directed by this guy named Anthony Mandler, who's directed over 100 music videos. He's not a feature director, so he's trying to do it here. And it's about institutional and systemic racism in the justice system, which I think is a great topic. Has a very unique narrative style. It's about this young African-American guy who is arrested, and we're trying to figure out if he was wrongfully accused, and he's a filmmaking student, and so the film is told from his perspective.
Oh, wow.
Narrated, so he's writing a movie script. It has Jennifer Hudson and Jeffrey Wright in it as his parents. I love courtroom dramas, but this one's kind of a joke, so I'd say skip it. It was a really bad movie.
Really? Jennifer Hudson attached to a movie like that? I mean, what happens here? I mean, where does she feel?
Well, the director did a bunch of her music videos.
Oh, boy.
They're friends, yeah.
All right. Okay, I was wondering because, you know, I mean, she's one of those people too that, you know, it's like, oh, Jennifer Hudson, I'll watch that kind of a movie.
Oh, for sure, I'd see anything she's in. It's true.
Wow. So you're going to be a very busy camper next week, and are you going to be physically at this event with the Wizard of Oz?
I am. Can you believe? Yes. Here's what's so exciting about this. This is after everything was canceled last year, all the events. This is the first live and in-person event for Oz. So it's a big comeback for live events for the Wizard of Oz. It's also a huge comeback for Oz in Chesterton, Indiana, because Wizard of Oz Festival in Chesterton, Indiana was like historically one of the largest in the country, attracting tens of thousands, you know, at a time every year. And the Munchkins were there and everybody else. And one of the organizers passed away in 2016, and it went away, and then this guy, Jack Bishop, and a team of people are resurrecting it, bringing it back. They were trying to bring it back last year. It got canceled. So now it's back this year. Emma Ridley, who played Ozma in 1985's Disney cult classic Return to Oz, is going to be there. A bunch of other Oz stars, and there's lots of activities and entertainment, Oz collectible vendors, and so much more. I'm going to be emceeing the whole weekend with my Toto. It's Toto's coming out party. We are following all social distancing guidelines and all of the state guidelines of Indiana for safety. It's going to be inside and outside, and it's going to be great and safe for families and fans of all ages. So May 15th and 16th in Chesterton, Indiana. You can get more information on Facebook at Wizard of Oz Days. Or you can go to my website, ryanjreviews.com. I have a link there for you to click through to that information for Facebook. But if you want to come out and meet my pup Toto, and her in some emerald green goodness, and I've been working really hard with her, got her a little stroller to hang out in when I'm up on the mic, and she's hopefully going to do some of the tricks that I've been training her to do when I'm on the mic, and the rest of it, we'll see how that goes. She's one, so it's a little unpredictable yet, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. This is one thing I was excited about getting Toto for, because I was always so painful whenever I host a lot of Oz events around the country. Always so sad to leave my dog Sadie behind. Sadie at age 18 and a half passed away a few years ago, but now getting Toto can come with me to the Oz events.
So now, are you going to let people, because you know how people are, they're going to want a picture of them and Toto. Are you going to let something like that happen? Because I mean, we're talking about
not at this time. Okay. I don't think it's appropriate because of social distancing. So, you know, if people want to, they can do those like photo bomb type photos with like Toto in the background if I'm holding Toto or something. Can take a picture of me holding Toto, that kind of thing, or, you know, but I don't think even the costume characters that are going to be there are going to be social distancing guidelines in place just for safety. So we're doing it, you know, we're doing it, but we're doing it right and we're doing it safe.
Yeah. Cause I, when I go out there with Jazzy and stuff like that, I get deeply bothered if somebody comes up and tries to touch my dog. I just can't handle it.
I know. I'm the same.
It's like, no, my dog's going to like you more than me. Get out of here. Now, are you going to film any of this so where people that can't make it up to Indiana, you know, can at least, you know, experience it?
There'll be some photos. I don't know how much or what's being filmed, and I'm in charge of that coverage because I'm basically facilitating a lot of it. So like Friday night, I'm hosting an Emerald City Gala from 5 to 11 p.m. That's a ticketed event. Saturday, I'm on the mic basically from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Every hour on the hour doing interviewing or introducing another act. Same on Sunday from 10 to 3. So I'm going to be pretty busy.
What are you, a radio disc jockey or something? I mean, those are the kind of hours we put in.
Oh, let me tell you. I don't know. And I got to look good, too. You know what I mean. Just picking out all the... I love it. I have all the different, like, hours. I've got Friday night a green outfit. I've got blue and white gingham to wear on Saturday. Red shoes all weekend.
Oh, my God.
So it'll be great.
You know, what I love about this is that it's proving that life on the other end of COVID, that those places that we used to run off to really do still have a life. Because, I mean, with these festivals that we depend on so much, you know, they're not gone. And you're proving that this week, that it's not gone.
Can I tell you the even bigger news?
What's that?
I've lost, of the 20 pounds I gained during the pandemic, I've lost 12.
All right.
So it has been hell arrow for me, getting, you know, at this age, and this it's not as easy. You've got to work a lot harder. So it's been very interesting. But I know a lot of people are dealing with the COVID weight and stuff. And so I that has been very frustrating. I mean, since January, I've been really working at it.
What was it that you were doing that gained the weight? Was it eating or just that you weren't getting out?
That's for me during the last year. It was inactivity. Eating really wasn't even the problem. It was basically going from my bed to the couch, from the couch to the bed, and bed to the couch, like for like a year, and suddenly, like, a year, 20 pounds. Like, wow.
Well, look at
and
Will
I knew
Smith.
It. I knew it as it was happening because I, like everyone else, I suddenly stopped where I was just wearing sweatpants and stretchy, pajama bottoms and stuff. So I kind of was aware that my waistline was getting bigger, but I also didn't care during the pandemic because I also had this sense of oh God, we're all gonna die. I was really scared. I was very, very scared, and a lot of people have, and it's horrible. And so it's an interesting time, but now that we're beginning to see, I'm vaccinated and hopefully going to make it through this time in world history. And so I was like, I need to get myself back,
You bring up an interesting point, and I just talked about this on my iHeartRadio podcast, and I said, I would like to see the numbers, the real honest to God numbers of the people that went through the COVID-19 lockdown and big scare, and how many people pretty much said, well, I guess it's over. And I want to see those numbers because it's amazing that through the healing that we need to go through, we need to say, okay, I may have said that along the way, but it's not over, and we need to grow forward now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other generations that are following us are just not going to understand what we went through. We were not lazy. We were doing exactly what we were told, and that's why we're still around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's so true.
Well, I cannot wait to see pictures. I really can. It just motivates me that you're going out there into the real world to do something so exciting.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited too. And I will keep you posted. I'll be off next week, but then look forward to chatting with you the following week.
All right, man. You be brilliant, okay?
Thanks so much, Arrow. You too.